Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Life Force, an Adam Kane Adventure, by T.R. Harris, narrated by Keith Sellenwright. Chapter 1. Captain Kane's bar and grill was crowded, as it was most nights during the month-long Dansis Lur Lights Festival being held down the street at the massive Maris Kliss Resort. The giant weapons manufacturer that ran the hotel and entertainment complex created the holiday out of whole cloth as a way of attracting more customers to their venue. It worked, and being so close, Kane's shared in the overflow crowd. Besides that, Captain Kane's was enjoying a rebirth of its own under the capable management of the aliens Kalor and Jim. They'd brought in new staff and new processors to provide some of the best intoxicants and food to be found in Balamar, even better than at the more expensive Maris Kliss Resort. They also expanded the restaurant to the warehouse next door where Riyadh once ran his outfitting business. Kalor built a stage and music played constantly, even if most of it was of alien origin and would hardly be considered music to human ears. And Sherry's Golden Slipper Hotel on the other side of Kane's was now a genuine hotel, and not the brothel-slash-opium den it once was. All in all, it worked, and Captain Kane's Bar and Grill was firing on all cylinders, even without its namesake having much input into the day-to-day operations. Adam preferred it that way. He had other things to worry about besides running a bar. He had picked a bad time to use the internal gravity bed upstairs at Kane's. Adam would normally sleep during these sessions, but the noise from downstairs made that impossible, even if that was the initial purpose for coming here. He had a gravity chamber at his house, but recently he'd been spending more time at the restaurant. When at home, he would inevitably fall asleep, but the constant din of the restaurant downstairs kept him awake, even as his body craved sleep. But it did keep the nightmares at bay. Even so, he was having second thoughts about coming here this evening. The crowd was especially rowdy, and the god-awful alien racket that passed for music was grating on his nerves. In another time, Adam would have sought out some hapless alien to beat on for a while, using any excuse to start a fight. It helped relieve the stress. But not now. All his body wanted was sleep, yet sleep was what terrified him the most. For months, Adam had been plagued by the same recurring dream. It was simple, yet frightening. He was falling down a wide shaft, or what he assumed was a shaft, since he couldn't see anything but white around him. Air was being sucked from his lungs, and the panic made it feel as if his chest was about to explode. And yet he kept falling. Forever, it seemed, without ever hitting the bottom. This was always the culmination of a memory dream of his time on Titan and the fight with the Klyn. The memory was spotty, and he questioned whether what he was remembering was how it happened. There were parts of the dream that didn't jive with his conscious recollection of the events, as if hidden doors were opening and his body was flowing from one unknown to another. And then he would fall into the white abyss, and keep falling until he would awaken in a pool of sweat, his heart racing, his breath coming in fits. Because of the constant nightmare, Adam found it better not to sleep. But he needed the sessions in the bed to maintain his human strength and vitality. However, lying in a quiet bed with the steady hum of the internal gravity generator would inevitably send him into a deep sleep, at least until the night terrors came again. But the clincher to it all was the fact that the gravity sessions were having little effect on his body, not like they did before. He still felt weak and listless, even when the internals were set at a quarter higher gravity than Earth's, making it about twice that of the planet Navaris. Normally, his muscles would respond to the treatments, gaining mass and vitality, while his organs operated in a more natural environment based on evolution. Lighter gravity, although temporarily a thrill, was harmful in the long run to the human body. Humans constantly fought with this, as the gravity of most prime worlds was Jurian standard, about three-quarters that of Earth. It did make humans virtual super-beings, at least until their bodies became acclimated. But over time, the detrimental effects caused serious medical issues. It was also frustrating that the sessions in the gravity chamber, both at his home and at Kane's, were having no effect in slowing his rapidly deteriorating health, as if he had a lingering cold or flu, one now lasting several months. He felt sick all the time, and that wasn't like him. Much of his success over the years while traipsing about the galaxy was the result of his superior human physiology. Now that physiology was coming back to bite him in the ass. He was only 51 years old, yet he imagined he felt like someone in their 70s. As an ex-Navy SEAL, his superb physical conditioning had always been his ace in the hole. Now that advantage wasn't only slipping away. It was departing at the speed of light, and there didn't seem to be anything he could do to stop it. The sound of three quick blasts from flash weapons was distinctive and followed immediately by a cacophony of screams and screeches coming from the main floor of the restaurant. Adam was on the third floor of Captain Kane's and was out of the bed a split second later, feeling woozy from the sudden change in gravity. The sensation passed quickly as he felt the sudden surge of energy one often experienced in lighter gravity. Adam left the room and literally jumped down the steps to the second floor landing where he could oversee the chaos taking place below. The restaurant was in turmoil, with overturned tables and chairs and a pair of bulky aliens facing off in the center of the rapidly emptying bar. Three other purple-skinned creatures lay on the floor, their skin burnt and blistered in spots from Level 1 flash bolts. Level 1 was overkill, literally, for most aliens. A Level 2 would have done the job just as well and not used as much battery power. One of the aliens had an MK-17 bolt launcher aimed at another purple-skinned creature, who now stood petrified with fear as the targeting computer in the weapon locked onto his defenseless body. Then a bolt flared out from the alien's weapon directly below Adam, striking the challenger in the chest. He dropped to the floor like a rock, with a brief flame igniting his shirt at the point of impact. Adam didn't know who started the fight or what it was about. It didn't matter. All he knew was that someone had entered his bar with a weapon and was killing his customers. How he got the gun past the security measures was anyone's guess. And then the crazed creature swung the MK-17 toward the few remaining customers, those trapped in a corner of the bar and unable to escape. As he had done numerous times before, Adam leaped over the rail and dropped onto the back of the shooter. In the light gravity, this was child's play for a human. But not this time. Adam's aim was slightly off, and although he hit the alien's back, most of the landing force was on his legs. He winced in pain as his right knee gave out, and he tumbled to the wooden floor. Then, before he could regain his footing, he caught a powerful blow to the side of his head. He saw stars, but was able to come to his senses in time to lash out with his good leg at his assailant. The alien was bringing the MK to bear on him, and with the close range, the targeting computer would only need milliseconds to lock on. The kick was off target, but strong enough to knock the alien off balance. The weapon discharged, sending the deadly plasma bolt shooting past Adam's head with only inches to spare. And then, as expected, the battery was drained. MK-17s only had a five-shot capacity at level one. The fact that the alien had already killed four people and then wasted the last shot on a miss saved Adam's life. Through the pain in his knee, Adam struggled to his feet, wearing a sinister grin. It was now alien versus human in a fistfight. Hardly fair. And then Adam caught another powerful blow to the face. He didn't even see it coming, which was unusual. He'd fought this brand of alien before. They were called Metallians, and never knew them to have exceptional hand speed or coordination. But already, this creature had made contact with Adam's head twice. Not only that, but they were powerful blows, enough to knock Adam senseless for a moment. And then the alien kicked him in the stomach. Adam buckled over before finding himself on the floor again as the Metallian slammed the grip of the MK-17 into the back of Adam's head. Fortunately, the pain in Adam's knee was gone, as were all other feelings. He was on the verge of unconsciousness when he noticed another pair of shoes merge with his attacker's. A loud grunt followed before the killer alien bounced on the floor next to Adam, his vacant eyes still open as the life drained from his body. The next thing Adam knew, hands were on him, but he didn't protest. He couldn't. His vision narrowed, and the last thing he remembered was the dark face of his friend Riyad Tarazi hovering over him. Chapter 2. "You have a mild concussion and 2 bruised ribs, along with the aggravated knee," the doctor was saying. Having temporarily passed out at the bar, Riyad took Adam to Earth's military garrison south of Balamar, where they knew how to treat humans. "You need to give your body time to heal." The doctor looked at Sherry and Riyad standing nearby. "Monitor his sleep often. The swelling in his brain isn't that bad, but he still needs to be watched. And I'm ordering a regimen of vitamins and other supplements. His body chemistry is a mess. I've never seen anything like it. Make sure he takes them."
"Will do, doctor," Sherry stated. "We'll set him up in our house once he's discharged."
"I don't need a babysitter," Adam protested. "I've had concussions before."
"No argument," Sherry stated. "Riyad and I have plenty of room. Sure, the view may not be as nice as from your palatial estate, but you can still see the ocean."
"This is a bunch of bullshit."
"What's bullshit is how you let a Metallian kick your ass," Riyad added. "I hit him one time and he was down for the count."
"I was distracted, you know, my knee."
"Which is also an issue," Riyad continued. "The drop was only about 12 feet. Your knee should have been fine."
The doctor tired of the banter and left the room, leaving the trio in awkward silence, each afraid to broach the subject. It was Adam who finally spoke.
"Yeah, I know. Something's not right. I've made that jump a dozen times before without a problem. And the Metallian even broke my fall. This is just more proof that the gravity bed isn't doing its damn job."
"It's not the bed, dickhead," Sherry countered,
followed by more silence. Adam finally pursed his lips and grimaced.
"It's getting worse," he admitted.
"I'm dizzy, weak, and nauseous most of the time. The doctor did a blood panel on me, and my numbers are all screwed up. He didn't even know where to begin."
"You started going downhill after you got back from Earth," said Riyad. "We've all noticed. That was 8 months ago, and you're not getting any better."
"You think I should go back to Earth and live in normal gravity all the time?"
Sherry shook her head.
"It's not only the gravity. It's everything. Your memory, your slurred speech. And in your condition, maybe it's the heavier gravity in the bed that's putting stress on your body."
"That's a little counterintuitive, isn't it? At least for a human. We thrive in heavy gravity."
Sherry stared at him for a long moment.
"Most of the time, but dude, look at yourself. You're a mess. Your skin is jaundiced, your eyes constantly bloodshot, and you mope around like you just lost your favorite puppy. This isn't you. Tell me something I don't already know."
Sherry looked around the hospital room.
"It's obvious the doctors here can't help you. Vitamins and rest are not going to cure you of this funk you have."
"The mutants," Riyad blurted. "They're back on Novaris. I think it's time we let them know what's going on. They might have some insights. They always do."
Adam shook his head.
"No way. Lila will just worry." "Tough titties, Adam," Sherry said. "Riyad's right.
If anyone can figure this out, it's Panner and Lila.
Adam shrugged. I guess that's an occupational hazard for an immortal to watch as one of her parents grows old and eventually dies.
Age has little to do with this, Adam, Sherry scolded. You have some kind of sickness that's eating you alive. To be honest, Riyadh and I have talked about your condition before. Even Jim said something the other day. It's no secret. But maybe Panner can invent some magic elixir that will give you back your youth and vitality.
Adam smirked. I think youth is a thing of the past, he said with a wry grin. But I sure could use a little vitality about now.
Hell, let's get this over with.
Adam noticed the concerned looks on the faces of the mutants the moment the trio entered the laboratory. The facility was located on the grounds of Earth's military garrison in southern Balamar, not far from the base hospital. Lila and Panner spent 90% of their time there, at least until recently. They'd been off-planet more than ever, never letting the others know where they were going or what they were working on. It had been 4 months since Adam last saw his daughter. Now, instead of a joyous rush to his arms and a loving hug, she stood back next to Panner, the normally smooth skin of her bronze forehead now creased with worry.
"We have a problem," Sherry stated, taking control of the conversation, her tone serious.
She knew Adam wouldn't be forthcoming with the truth, and she wasn't mincing words.
"There's something wrong with Adam."
Panner eyed him with a steady gaze.
"I can see that from the bandages. Were you hit by a train, my friend?"
Before Adam could answer, Sherry was speaking again.
"No, his injuries are just a consequence of what's been happening to him. He's been going downhill since he got back from Earth. He's weak and listless and couldn't remember his middle name if you asked him. And last night at Kane's, he let some alien scum wipe the floor with him. You know that ain't normal."
Although the mutants didn't look directly at each other, their eyes shifted nervously. Sherry caught the gesture.
"What do you know?" She cocked her head. "This isn't a surprise to you, is it?"
"Perhaps it would be best if we spoke in private," Lila said. "Adam should get his rest."
"I'm not going anywhere," Adam exclaimed. "If you know something about why I'm feeling so crappy, then out with it."
"In time, Adam," Panner said. "But first, you must let us speak with Sherry and Riyadh. Let us get a better idea of what's been going on with you."
Adam hobbled over to a chair and sat down, his head wobbling slightly as he lost his balance for a moment. Sherry took him by the arm to steady him.
"I'm just a little dizzy."
Riyadh now stepped closer to the mutants.
"You know what's going on, don't you? Tell us, please. Adam is our friend. We are concerned."
"We are all concerned," said Lila.
Then she paused, something she rarely did. Her immense intellect gave her exceptional confidence in all her actions. She seldom was hesitant to speak her mind. Adam looked into her dark eyes, his own bloodshot and weary.
"Go ahead, Lila, I can handle it. It's no secret that I'm suffering from something serious. If you know what it is, let me know."
Then it was Adam's turn to hesitate.
When he spoke, his voice trembled. "I'm dying. Isn't that right?"
Panner let out a sad snicker.
"Unfortunately, Adam, it's a little late for that."
The cryptic comment caught the trio off guard. Mouths fell open and they stared at Panner, waiting for him to continue. The tiny gray mutant shrugged and looked over at Lila.
"I suppose we could not keep this a secret forever."
"All right. If you must know..."
"Hold on a second," Adam mumbled. "I'm having second thoughts about wanting to know."
"Tell us," Sherry commanded.
"It was on Titan," Panner said.
Adam's heart raced. For months he'd been haunted by vivid dreams about the Saturnian moon and the events that took place there, with them always ending in the fall down the white shaft. But there was more to it. Although his memories were sketchy in the dream, they never continued beyond the confrontation in the transdimensional portal room with the last plebeian of the Klin, Anor. That was understandable. He'd been knocked unconscious, which was probably where the memory of the white shaft came from. Then Panner and Lila came to his rescue, after which Adam learned that the Klin leader was gone, having jumped to another universe. Although that was a disappointing end to Adam's latest adventure, at least the Milky Way was free of the Klin and their constant machinations toward domination. However, it was from that moment that Adam could trace his decline. Now he was anxious for some answers. Or at least he thought he was.
"What about Titan?" he asked nervously. "Brace yourself, Adam. What I am about to tell you will be hard to accept."
Panner took in a deep breath.
"When I found you in the TD control room, you were already dead, killed by Anor before he made his jump."
There was stunned, unbelieving silence in the room until Adam snickered and shook his head. "Bullshit! I remember you helping me back to your ship. I was alive then, just as I'm alive now."
"Yes, you are, now," Lila said. "But only after Panner captured your living essence and then returned it to your re-energized body. It was an act of desperation and urgency, and now, as we've observed, we realize the damage to your body was more extensive than first thought."
Adam looked at Sherry and Riyadh. They were staring at him with their mouths agape.
"Are you believing any of this crap?" he asked.
Both of them nodded the affirmative.
"It's Panner, Adam," Riyadh stated. "We know what he can do."
"So do I, but to bring someone back from the dead..."
"It is true, Father," Lila said. "Panner extracted your brainwave essence, preserving your memories and personality. Then, together, we re-energized your body as best we could. The process worked, to a degree."
"And now his body is rejecting the procedure," Sherry stated. "It's deteriorating."
"That is correct," said Lila. "It was always only a temporary solution, and although we were able to salvage his physical body, we still had no idea as to the extent of the damage to his mental capacity. To be honest, we are surprised he has lasted this long."
"Why didn't you tell us this before?"
Sherry barked, tears in her eyes.
"We had to take into consideration what effect knowing the truth would have on Adam. To know he had died and then been given a reprieve would have been traumatic. Besides, we needed him to continue as if nothing had happened, so we could create a baseline with which to study the effects."
"You studied him as if he were a lab animal?" Riyadh snapped.
"Don't get testy with us, Riyadh," Panner scolded. "Everything we did on Titan had never been done before."
"You've absorbed essences before," Sherry pointed out. "Why was Adam's any different?"
"Several reasons," Panner continued in his defense. "First of all, not every essence can be extracted. That is mainly an after-effect of those from the Soul Core universe and its unique properties. Besides that, Adam was killed by an intense electrical shock. The electricity was still in his body when I melded with him to extract his memories. They, too, are made up of electrical energy. It was not as straightforward of a process as you might imagine, trying to decipher which were natural impulses and which were foreign. Only because of our past meldings was I able to isolate and consolidate his memories. Besides, I was not doing the extracting. I do not have that capability. It was through the creature Temok that I was able to do it at all. That was what he was designed to do, not me. He is still within me, which in itself is another issue." "And then we had to re-energize the body," Lila said, taking over the narrative. "Although Adam had only been dead for a short time, the excess heat from the shock caused considerable physical and metabolic damage.
We restarted the heart and brain functions, but it was only a temporary fix. The damage was too severe. The bottom line is that Adam has a damaged body and damaged brain, and without the resources within himself to heal completely. It is a testament to his excellent physical condition prior to his death that he has survived this long. Prior to his death. That was an eye-opening statement. Adam thought he felt tired and drained before, but now he leaned over against Sherry, using her body to keep him from toppling off the chair.
So, how long do I have?
That is still an unknown, Panner said with more enthusiasm in his voice. You see, Lila and I have been working on a plan.
A plan for what? Riyadh asked.
A plan to save Adam from his inevitable fate.
Immediately the possibilities sprung into Adam's mind, what there was left of it. He knew that Panner was himself living in an artificial body, one of the so-called masters created long ago by the Queen of the Soul Corps.
Are you planning to put me into one of your drab gray bodies?
I don't think I could deal with that.
Unfortunately, that is not an option. The masters were created for me and me alone. A human would not have the energy resources to run such a construct, not even as a temporary fix. Our plan is much more ambitious.
Explain, Sherry demanded.
Panner looked to Lila, appearing embarrassed. Lila pursed her lips.
This is where our opinions diverged, she said. Panner wanted to create a living vessel in which to place Adam's essence. It was to be nothing fancy, essentially another form of master, but not as sophisticated as his. I protested. If we were to put effort into saving Adam, then we had to do it right. By cloning a new Adam Kane.
Okay, Sherry said. Cloning is fairly common. I'm sure the two of you could do that.
We can, said Panner. But not within the time frame required.
He looked at Adam, his eyes clouded and sad.
We estimate that Adam only has a couple of weeks, if not a month, before his body gives out completely. And each time his essence is extracted and reintroduced, data is lost. I, through Temok, can only do it one more time, and that will be to transfer him into a new body immediately. If he is retained within me for more than 12 hours, the electrical impulses of his memories will fuse with mine and be lost forever.
A month, at most, Riyadh said. Please tell us you've been working on this and everything is ready to go. Is that why you've been off-planet?
Panner nodded.
We have been working on a plan, yet as I said before, time is not on our side. We've just completed the first phase of the operation and returned to Naveris to check on Adam. We see now that there is no time to waste. Unfortunately, I do not have the time or resources to create everything I need to clone Adam's body and do it within the new timeline. At least, not here.
What do you mean, here? Sherry asked. You mean Naveris?
I mean in the Milky Way.
If not here, then where? Riyadh queried.
I have a laboratory with all the equipment and facilities I need, among other things, on the planet Kor.
Kor? Sherry exclaimed. In the Soul Corps universe?
Panner and Lila nodded in unison.
That's what you've been doing, Riyadh said. You've built another TD starship, one capable of moving between dimensions.
Or is it just a portal?
It is a starship, yet one of more advanced design than we used before. It is imperative that we transition to the other universe without being detected, and as you know, TD travel does leave its markers.
Because of Janae? Adam mumbled. Panner grimaced.
Indeed. My creation is now the queen of the Soul Corps colony, and, as you know, she doesn't like me very much. I would not want her to learn of my return, not before our work there is done. There's no telling what lengths she...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?